It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times on 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. And look who's here, live and in person, ladies and gentlemen, Stephen Dinan, Washington Times political editor. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Andy.
All right, got a new poll from the Washington Times, Zogby Group, if you will. And it shows a dead heat.
Yeah, completely dead, down almost to the exact respondent. So we use a survey sample of 800 likely voters, and the difference between Romney and Obama in those 800 likely voters was two people. These are weighted, so there's a little bit of give and take within there, but essentially it was, it was dead even, almost down to the exact person. And that's true on a number of these demographic categories. You know, women and men, about running about even there. The gender gap has all but disappeared, at least as far as our polling shows. We're looking at a very similar race to 2000 and 2004 when we went into the final days, having no clue and either man being able to win.
Wow.
The one thing that we did pick up is that, and we've seen this in our previous poll, Romney continues to have an edge in enthusiasm. And the way that we measure enthusiasm is we ask a question about, are you voting, after we ask who you're voting for, we say, are you voting for that person because A, he's the best candidate, B, because you hate the other guy, C, because you always vote for a Republican, or D, it's just sort of your default. Romney does much better in terms of by 8 or 9 percentage points in terms of people voting for him because they think he's the best candidate. He's up in 66% or so. Obama is down at about 58% there. He had been up in the upper 60s at one point. He's now, that number is not good for him. The fact that only a little bit more than half of his supporters say, yeah, he really deserves re-election, that's a little bit worrisome for him. And so what this suggests is that the race is dead even. It's going to depend on, for Romney to win, he's going to need to turn out the supporters he has who are enthusiastic for him. Obama actually leads in terms of, we asked if people had voted already, and about a quarter of them in our survey had voted already early.
Wow.
I was surprised that number too. It's high, and early voting is becoming more and more common. Obama leads among those folks by about 8 percentage points. So Romney's vote is still to come on Election Day, which is where that enthusiasm comes to play.
Poll was taken when? Just a couple of days ago, right?
Yeah, Monday through Wednesday.
Okay, so we were dealing with a massive hurricane along the East Coast. Any effect from that?
Our pollster, John Zogby, said no effect. It's tough to tell. Some of the national tracking polls, Gallup and whatnot, tracking poll is where you poll every day a different group of 300 voters every day and put them together in a 3 or 4 day sample and keep it rolling. They actually stopped polling because of Sandy for 2 or 3 days there, deciding that they weren't going to get valid results. But our pollster thought that we could get valid results, and so we did. One of the things that's going on here, polling is really crazy this year. It's been a lot of fun to watch, but really, really interesting stuff going on there. The key decisions going on are in the pollsters' minds about what they view as the likely turnout model, who's going to actually show up on Election Day, and that's why you're seeing these completely divergent polls from some folks saying that the Democrats have an edge going in, other folks saying that even in a few polls showing that Romney has an edge. I guess the latest is probably, if you average them all together, you get dead even, which is probably a pretty good view of things. But every pollster takes a different view of how many white voters are going to come, how many black voters are going to come, what the percentage of men and women is going to be, all of those sort of demographics. That's all a very long way of saying that what pollsters do to sort of compensate for things like Hurricane Sandy is you use your weighting techniques to get around that sort of stuff. And so that's why we're fairly confident that our data as a nationwide survey does a pretty good job of capturing where things are.
Okay. Did you, in this poll, break down the black vote, the Hispanic vote, and where does it go?
Yeah, we sure did. And so this is one of the things we sort of always expected this, and now we're actually seeing it. Both guys are getting their base demographics coming back to them. You have the black vote is 92%, I believe, in favor of Obama, and another 3 or 4% that say they're undecided, but almost certainly will probably break for Obama. The Hispanic vote, Obama is getting, I believe, it's 73%. He is ready to outperform what he did even 4 years ago.
Really?
John McCain. If that polling holds up, and given the state of the immigration debate, that's not necessarily surprising. But he's ready to do as well or are better among Hispanics. And Romney is now up at about 60% among white voters. I think McCain got 57, according to the exit polling in 2008. Obviously, the white percentage of the vote, most folks think, will slip a little bit just with the changing demographics of the country. So in order to match McCain, Romney needs to grow that share of the vote, of the white vote, in order to beat Obama. He'll probably have to be in the low to mid 60s on that vote. But, you know, so those folks are coming back to him while Obama is getting his base back for him.
All
as
right.
Well.
Third-party candidates mean anything in this poll?
Very little. Gary Johnson gets about 2 percentage points when you include him, and then the Green Party candidate gets about 1 percentage point, but it does absolutely nothing to the actual horse race between Obama and Romney. They remain exactly dead even. I think when we did that down to the respondent, you were talking about a difference of one respondent, not two.
Yeah. So you know, over the years, I've heard pollsters say that the incumbent needs to have 50% to win. And this president hasn't really done that.
No, he did it for a very brief blip in late September in the polls. He sort of surged up there. But since the debate, he has not crossed that threshold. And so there are a number of different theories behind this. One of them is that if you are still undecided at this, if the president is beneath 50%, then the people who are undecided are going to break against the incumbent president. And so that would bode well for Romney. There's another thought on this, which is that those people who say they're still undecided now with, you know, 4 or 5 days out, probably aren't going to vote because they're simply, you know, if they still are honestly undecided, that, you know, at this point, something's probably wrong with them, and they're, you know, they're just not that interested. There are some people who just slice out the undecided and then basically recalculate where they are from the current status. That would actually bode a little bit better for Obama. You know, who knows which of those theories is true, but it's but either way, if you're an incumbent, you want to be polling at least 50% at this point in order to be safe. He's not polling that, and that is a problem.
Any indication as to how many people made up their minds right after the debates?
We've done, I think, 3 polls since the first debate, and we've seen a couple of different interesting things there. First is that we saw after the first debate, most folks thought Romney had won the first debate pretty clearly. The next two debates, folks seemed divided, but Obama seemed to have the edge in those two debates. So we took all of those debates plus the vice presidential debate and said, overall, who won? And it was about even. It was maybe 41% thought that the Democrats won, 40% thought that the Republicans won those. But very few of them actually changed their minds. Only all told, maybe about 13% actually changed their minds, said they changed their minds based on the debate. And of those, Romney got 7% said they went to Romney, about 5% said they went to Obama. More important than those numbers, though, is the fact that, and we clearly saw, the debate helped Romney become a viable candidate. His first debate performance may not have actually made people say, wow, I'm switching from undecided or from Obama to Romney, but he did, he presented himself as a viable candidate, a viable alternative, and not the scary guy that the Obama ads had portrayed him as. So in this big stage that he had, the first time he was on this major, huge 60, 70 million person viewer stage,
right,
it worked immensely well for him.
Mm-hmm. And finally, today's job numbers mean anything?
You know, it's a mixed report. It's probably slightly better than worse in that the number created is a good – it's not a bad number. It's actually a pretty solid number. It's still not enough to keep up with regular population growth and not enough to make much of a dent in all the jobs lost over the past 5 years or so. But it's a solid job creation number. The problem for Obama is that the unemployment rate ticked up. It's now one-tenth higher than it was when he took office. It's still not above the 8-point mark, which would be a big problem for him. But so it's a mixed report. I think at this point, you know, if you're still an undecided voter, you probably aren't going to pay attention to this either. So I doubt it has too much of an effect. It's a bit of momentum that Obama will certainly use on the campaign trail, but I doubt it swings people one way or the other.
Going to be a late night on Tuesday.
You know, I'm afraid it will. There are people who are already talking about recounts and whatnot, and an election that looks this. I mean, we really are. We're looking so much like that 2000, so much so that you have – the Romney campaign, I'm sorry, the Obama campaign is talking so much about the electoral map. We have a path to victory through the electoral map. You know, if he never has polled above 50% and he doesn't poll above 50%, you could be looking at the exact same situation in reverse, where this time the Republican has the majority or the higher popular vote,
right,
and the Democrat wins. And imagine that situation. If you have an incumbent president, I believe somebody said this would be the first time in history that it's happened four times that somebody's been elected without without winning the popular vote, but has won the Electoral College. This would be the first time that an incumbent president had done that. So imagine that incumbent president going and having to face Congress, not having a popular mandate, but being in office as a lame duck, no chance of reelection, facing a Republican House and probably a Democratic Senate. You know, it's basically the voters saying, "Hey guys, we weren't happy with anything you all did over the last 2 years. Go back and do it again."
Yeah, we'll see what happens, yeah, won't we? All right, Stephen, great to talk to you. Have a good weekend. Rest up. You're probably going to need it.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Stephen Dynan, Washington Times political editor. It is 4:28, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times.